It's good to see you and good to be in the house of the Lord, and I hope that you're having a good Sunday today. I know a lot of you are so excited about Michigan State today and the big game, and everybody, woo, pumped as usual. Yeah, I can see. We are in the middle of a series, The Counselor, and if you've ever been to a counselor before, you know that they tend to ask a lot of questions. Why does a counselor ask a lot of questions? Because the best way to find truth is often on the other side of a good question. And so far in this series, we've looked at two of the most important questions that Jesus asked. And in week one, he asked the question, why are you so afraid? If you remember, they entered into a storm and the disciples panicked and they woke Jesus up and said, we're going to drown. And he said, well, why are you so afraid? I'm here. And from that, we learn that in the storm of life or whatever storm that you're in or facing, that Jesus is with you, and he has purposes for you in that storm, and he will bring you in the storm sometimes and take you through the storm, and he's with you that whole time, and he has a purpose in that storm. Last week, Jesus asked the question, do you believe I am able to do this? Do you believe that I am able to do this? Which begs the question, what kind of faith does God honor? What kind of faith does the honor? And we said there's three kinds of faith that God honors. A faith that believes when it cannot see. A faith that believes when it cannot see. A faith that persists when nothing changes. And a faith that works when it doesn't make sense. And you may remember God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, through whom the promise came, and it didn't make sense. And that's the type of faith that works when it doesn't make sense, and when it persists, when nothing changes, it believes when it cannot see. And so today, Jesus is going to ask a guy who's been sick essentially for 38 years, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? And maybe you're here and you have an ongoing medical issue. Maybe chronic headaches, depression. Maybe you're overspending, overcommitting right now in your life. You're overindulging. Maybe you have an addiction. You might have a relationship with someone you love that's just challenging. You're having a hard time getting along with a mom or a dad, a brother or sister, perhaps a coworker, a boss, a neighbor or a friend. Jesus understands. In fact, Hebrews 4:16 tells us this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. And so today, we're going to look at a guy who had some severe weaknesses. He had been sick for 38 years, and that's where we're going to pick up our story in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. So let's look here as we jump into the text in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda, with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. We looked at this text before, but I thought we'd bring it up again because there's some points I want to make from it. Why were these crowds of sick people lying around these pools? Why were they lying around this pool? Well, tradition says that an angel would come and stir up the pool and the water would bubble up. And it was believed that the first person to jump in or get in when the water was bubbling up would be healed. And so that's what tradition had said, and that's where these sick people had been lying around this pool, hoping to jump in and get in and be healed, so to speak. And so let's continue to read on, verses 5 and 6. One of the men lying there had been sick for how long? 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" That question at first glance seems rather insulting, doesn't it? It's like asking a guy who's broke, "Would you like $100? or someone who's hungry, "Would you like to go to an all-you-can-eat buffet?" "Well, duh, yeah, I'd love to go to an all-you-can-eat buffet." So that's kind of what it seems like that Jesus is asking him in a sense. Let's continue on, verses 7 through 9. "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat, and he began walking. What is it I want you to notice here with this man? I want you to notice when this man came into the presence of Jesus, it changed everything. In fact, a moment in the presence of Jesus can change everything. Today we're going to look at three, what I would call, significant challenges for problems that persist. And maybe you have a problem in your life or an issue that you've been dealing with for a long time, right? It's been persisting and it's been going on. And so we're going to talk about some of the challenges for problems that kind of just go on for a while. Or you might say, "Well, I've had it for a month, but it feels like it's been for 3 months that I've been dealing with this situation." First, the longer the problem persists, the more discouraged you become. All right, we got a lot of notes there on your bulletin. I got a little note happy this week. The longer the problem persists, the more discouraged you become. You might say, "Well, you tried to work on your marriage." You might say that, right? You tried to work on your marriage. You prayed about it. You were nice. You went to church together for a little while. However, your marriage is still struggling. And years later, you're saying, "I don't think anything is going to help." Or you may have prayed about a physical issue or problem that you have in your life, and you went to see a doctor in town, and then you went to a specialist, and nothing got better. And so now you're saying, "Well, maybe this is just what God has for me. Maybe this is just what he wants for me. I don't know." And so the longer the problem goes on, the longer it persists, the more discouraged you become. The second significant challenge I would say is this: the longer the problem persists, the more excuses you make, right? The longer the problem persists, the more excuses you and me will make. It makes us feel better if we can just put the blame somewhere else, right? If we got a problem, if we can just shift that blame, put that blame somewhere else, it makes us feel better. This guy basically said to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, I have no one to help me get into the water," right? "I got no one to help me. I'm completely helpless and hopeless." Maybe he couldn't walk, but perhaps he could have crawled. However, he got to the point where a lot of us get to sometimes. We'll say things like, "Well, I went to a counselor one time, but it didn't do any good," right? Or, "I tried all the doctors in town, and nobody knows what the problem is. I can't get a good job because I didn't go to college, so I just can't get a good job." Or, "You know what? I tried the church thing. I mean, I went to church for 2 weeks straight, and nothing happened." Right, that's funny. All right. Thought I got a bigger laugh. So, right, the longer the problem persists, the more discouraged you become. The longer the problem persists, the more excuses you make. Third, the longer the problem persists, the more you learn to compensate. The more you learn to compensate. Some of you are might be here. Some of you might be a highly functioning alcoholic, right? Sure, it puts stress on your marriage, and it's a challenge to your children, but you're still highly functioning professionally, right? It hasn't changed that. People may not know, and if they do know, they don't really care, and you've managed to work around it. You've figured out how to work around this. Some of you, you may have learned to exist in a very dead marriage. You don't like it, but you accept it. You have no common vision, intimacy, or spiritual movement. So you're just kind of existing, right? You're not building anything into the children. It's more of a business partnership. You're staying together for the sake of the kids. Some of you, you may have learned how to compensate for a porn problem. You think, you know what, it really doesn't matter that much. You've learned to hide it and to delete things and cover up, and you think, you know what, it's really not that big of a deal. Some of you, you may have learned how to compensate for overspending, right? However, it's not working out so good because you're living paycheck to paycheck and you don't know how you're going to get out of trouble. You've become a master at maxing out the credit card. And here's a key point and statement there on your bulletin. You will not change until you recognize the problem. You will not change until you recognize the problem. You will never change when you're tolerating an issue. Put another way, you cannot change what you're willing to tolerate. You cannot change what you're willing to tolerate. Why does Jesus ask this man if he wants to get healed? Why does Jesus ask this question? Because you just can't help someone who wants to, you just can't help someone who needs help. You can only help someone who wants help, right? You can't just help someone who needs help. You can only help someone who wants help. Here's a question for you. What's the greatest obstacle to real faith? What's the greatest obstacle to real faith? It's not fear or worry, but the familiar. The familiar. You don't understand, Jesus. I've been this way for 38 years. I've been unable to walk. I've tried everything. In other words, I got my resume of excuses. And so you accept what is rather than believing what could be. You see, I'm just an average student. My family has always struggled financially. Everybody in our family has a weight issue or a weight problem. We're all overweight. Until your desire becomes bigger than your disability, you will not start to find healing. Until your desire becomes bigger than your disability, you will not start to find healing. Do you want to get out of debt? For some of you, shopping is your drug of choice, right? You may say, I want to get out of debt, but your actions deny it. Here's the thing. Some people are more comfortable in the known than the unknown. Some people are more comfortable in the known than the unknown. And I don't care how long you've been down, with the power of Christ, you're never out. You're never out with the power of Christ. That which you gave up on long time ago is possible with God. Whether it's been 3 months or 30 years, a moment in the presence of Jesus can change everything. That which was your greatest misery can become your greatest ministry. And when God heals you, there will be no one who is a better evangelist than you. This guy said, I have no one to help me into the water. I've got no one to help me get into the water. Jesus said, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. And three things happened when Jesus healed this man. First, this man didn't even ask to be healed. He didn't even ask to be healed. Second, he did nothing to earn it or deserve it. And third, right, the healing didn't happen in the way that he thought it would happen. Right? It didn't happen the way he thought it would happen. Here's a question for you. What should your greatest priority in life be? What should your greatest priority in life be? What should you be focusing on? To press into the presence of God and to get to know his son, Jesus. That's what life's all about. Pressing into the presence of God and getting to know his son, Jesus. What should you say when you wake up in the morning? What should you say? God, I exist to bring you glory. My life is not my own. Help me to live my life today in such a way that I make a difference for you. I surrender it all to you. Here's my life, Lord. And as you do this, he will start to do things for you that you didn't even ask him to do. He'll bring healing in areas of your life that you didn't even know you needed healing. He'll change your thought processes in areas that you didn't even know were dysfunctional. Jesus didn't heal this guy because he was a good guy. That's not why he healed him, right? Right? Well, I'm a good person, right? So I'm sure the scales will tip in my favor, and that's not how it works. For it is by God's grace that we're saved through faith, and this not from ourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast about it. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, right? It's by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. So Jesus didn't heal this man because he was a good guy. Jesus healed him because he was and is good. That's why he healed him. This man thought to himself, if only I can get in the water. My whole life I've thought like that. If only I can get myself in such and such position. If only I can get there. If only I get to this place, I'll meet the girl of my dreams, right? And so I'll go seeking and searching. If only I can, you know, look the right way, wear the right clothes, put myself in the right position. If only I can get there, then this will happen. That's essentially what this man said. If only I can get into the pool, right? If only I can get into this pool at work, then I'll get in the mainstream and I'll get to the top. If only. If only we can get here as a family, if only we can get this house or this car or this position or over this thing or whatever it is. This healing, that's not how it happened. That's not how it happened. You know, some of you are searching for a particular way, and it may not happen or come through that way. Right? You may be in financial trouble, and right, I'll see you at the quick trip here, and you're buying lottery tickets. And God is saying, it's going to happen another way. Trust me. Would you trust me with your finances? Right? And you're searching and seeking, well, maybe if I do this and I get myself there and do that, then I can fit the pieces in the puzzle and it'll all work out. It's not going to happen that way. And God's saying, trust me. Jesus said, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. In other words, I don't want to hear your excuses. I want to see your faith. I want to see your faith. Trust me. What is it then that we need to do? We need to step away from the familiar. Why? Because the familiar is often the greatest hindrance to real faith. Right? We've just lived in the familiar for so long that we just accept what is rather than believing what could be. Last spring, last winter, for me, the familiar was walking around on crutches with a cast and a boot. Right? You may remember that I tore my Achilles tendon last Christmas, chasing my sister's little 5-year-old girl running around the house. And the familiar for me had been hopping on one leg, you know, on and off the stage and trying to exercise with one leg. And I just think about that was the familiar for me. And then I went to see the physical therapist and he said to me, you know, take off that boot and I want you to start walking. And I said, you want me to start walking? Yeah, just start walking. And I was like, I don't believe I can walk. Right? I don't believe my legs are capable of supporting me. What is it that you need to have faith and believe that with the help of God you can do? Right? What is it? What is it in your life that you need to have faith and believe that with the help of God, all things are possible? I don't know. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe you'd say, right, I need help and faith to believe that I can throw these cigarettes out at the door when I leave today. Some of you, you may in your small group share that, hey, I need help. I need help in this area. Or you may check yourself into rehab or consult a counselor. Do you want to be free of worry, anxiety, or fear? Do you want to be free of an angry spirit? God isn't going to help someone who needs help but wants help. And so he asked the question, do you want to get well? Do you really want to get well? Or have you become so comfortable with the known that you'll never enter into the unknown? You don't want to go there yourself. Do you want to get well? You know, we can't change what we're willing to tolerate. We can't change what we're willing to tolerate. We have to be unwilling to live in this sickness. We have to want to get well. Here's the thing. Jesus can heal you, right? Jesus can heal you, but you have to want to get well. And so that's what Jesus asked this man. I understand that you're sick, right? And I can heal you, but do you really want to get well? Until your desire becomes bigger than your disability, bigger than your situation, you will not start to find healing. And so my prayer for you today is that God would spark such a desire in your heart that you would say, you know what, I want to get well. Because here's the thing, God will give you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. He will. He really will. But you have to want to get well. You have to say, you know what? I don't want this for my life. I've grown comfortable in it. I've learned to live with it. And it's not what I want. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I believe that nothing is impossible with God. And so, Lord, I put my faith in you. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I I've been wrestling with something in my life, in my family, in my job for a long time, and I want to get well. Would you pray for me? In a moment here, we're going to pray. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm not a Christian, and I realize that I cannot get well in and of myself. I've tried to heal myself. I've tried to act right and fly straight, or whatever that might mean, but I cannot do that in and of myself with my own ability. I need Jesus. And so in a moment, we're going to give you the opportunity to ask Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior. I believe the question he is asking you this morning is, do you want to get well? All right? Until you recognize the problem, you will not change. Right? We can't change what we're willing to tolerate. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, Lord, there's probably areas in every one of our lives that we compartmentalize and we say, well, you know what? This little area is just off limits to you, God. And I'm afraid to let you into this area because I'm afraid it might take away something that I think I need as a crutch or as some type of vice to hold on to. And God is saying, you know, just trust me in this area. Trust me to provide. And the way you think that it's going to happen, it may not happen in that way. I might do something totally different and totally new. So put your faith and trust in me. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I've been dealing with something in my physical health or in my marriage here for a long time, and the problem has persisted, and I've become discouraged, and I've made excuses, and I've learned to compensate for it. But that's not how I want it to be. I want to get well. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters whose hearts are just crying out this morning, saying, I want to get well. I pray, Lord, that you would do a supernatural work in their life. I pray for healing in their life. I pray that you would touch them. I pray that their desire would become bigger than their disability and that they would start to find healing in you, Lord, that you'd heal their mind and heal their heart and that you would draw them unto you. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I've been living in sin. I know it. And it was fun for a time and for a season, but there's an emptiness in my heart and in my soul and in my life. And I know what I need is Jesus. I want him. I know I need healing. And if that's you with heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, Ed, I want Jesus, then I would just ask you to softly and quietly repeat these words in your heart after me. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you pray that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Lord, I pray that you bring healing to marriages, healing to relationships, healing to addictions, healing to things that people have been battling with for a month, 3 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years, or 30 years. I pray for the impossible because nothing is impossible with you. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to remember that greater is you who are in us than he that is in the world. That we would remember that we have the same Spirit in living in us that raised Christ from the dead. Lord, give us the desire and the power to do what pleases you. And we pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.